Go ahead and open your Bibles back up to the book of James in chapter 1. It's great to be with you today. What a beautiful day we have that is created for us to be able to be out. And what a joyous occasion that brings us all together to be able to remember what Jesus has done for us, the price that was paid, and the victory that was won. And we certainly have been stirred in our hearts and minds this morning by those who have led and all those who have participated in our worship, and what an encouraging thing that is. If you're visiting with us, we're so glad that you're here and glad that you've had the opportunity to be with us. And if you're just here for today, passing through, we're so glad you stopped and worshiped with us, and we hope that it was encouraging to you. If there's any way we can be an encouragement to you as you continue on in your travels, please let us know. If you're from the area, then we would love for you to be one of those people that Brother Pat prayed about this morning, someone that the Lord has guided and directed you to our number this morning. And perhaps you're looking for a family to call home, a family to strengthen and encourage you. And we would love to be just that. If you are from our area, then certainly we would love to invite you in and bring you into this fold as well. One of the things that we have been working on this year is the book of James with our little kids' drill class. So typically when we come back together in the afternoons, just for informational purposes for those of you visiting, what we do is when we come back together in the afternoons, we'll have about 10 to 15 minutes up here in the front with the little kids and then the teenagers and then all the big kids that sit everywhere else, and we work on just different things. We sing songs, we ask questions, we sometimes play little trivia things, trying to see how well we know the Bible and know how it relates with itself. We learn facts, and what we've been working on recently is working on the book of James. In fact, trying to memorize the book of James. And before you think like, wow, that's a crazy effort, we're like 8 verses in. So it's brand new to us. But what I thought about was, why don't I just start a series where I preach through the book of James as we're learning the book of James. And so what I thought I would do this morning is just read the book of James, as we've done that before, where we just take some time to work through an entire book and read the whole book in our morning assembly. And so I wanted to do that just as a way to kind of kick us off into a series that I want to do where I preach through the book of James. But I thought it might be appropriate for me to get a little bit of help for the first 8 verses. So since we all know the first 8 verses, I thought it would be appropriate for us to all do the first 8 verses together, and then I'll pick up in verse 9 and begin reading and finish up with the rest of the book. So let's see how we do. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. For the one who but he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Good job! That's great. So tonight, when we come back together, or this afternoon at 3 o'clock, when we come back together, we're going to try to work on verses 9 through 11. So here's how they go. But the brother of humble circumstances is to glory in his high position. And the rich man is to glory in his humiliation. Because like flowering grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with a scorching wind and withers the grass. And its flower falls off and the beauty of its appearance is destroyed. So too the rich man in the midst of his pursuits will fade away. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then, when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits among his creatures. This you know, my beloved brethren. But everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. Pure an undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. My brethren, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ with an attitude of personal favoritism. For if a man comes into your assembly with a gold ring and dressed in fine clothes, and there also comes in a poor man in dirty clothes, and you pay special attention to the one who is wearing the fine clothes and say, you sit here in a good place. And you say to the poor man, you stand over there or sit down by my footstool. Have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil motives? Listen, my beloved brethren. Did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Is it not the rich who oppress you and personally drag you into court? Do they not blaspheme the fair name by which you have been called? If, however, you are fulfilling the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point, he has become guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not commit murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but do commit murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment will be merciless to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, be warmed and be filled," and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may well say, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works." You believe that God is one. You do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works. And as a result of the works, faith was perfected. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, "And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And he was called the friend of God." You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put bits into the horses' mouths so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so great and driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beasts and birds and reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy, selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think the Scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the Spirit which He has made to dwell in us. But He gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and He will exalt you. Do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But who are you who judge your neighbor? Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries which are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted and your garments have become moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver have rusted, and their rust will be a witness against you and will consume your flesh like fire. It is in the last days that you have stored up your treasure. Behold, the pay of the laborers who mowed your fields and which has been withheld from you cries out against you. And the outcry of those who did the harvesting has reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. You have lived luxuriously on the earth and led a life of wanton pleasure. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and put to death the righteous man. He does not resist you. Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and late rains. You too be patient. Strengthen your hearts. For the coming of the Lord is near. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings. That the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. But above all, my brethren, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but your yes is to be yes, and your no, no, so that you may not fall under judgment. Is anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray. Is anyone cheerful? He is to sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another, and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again, and the sky poured rain and the earth produced its fruit. My brethren, if any among you strays from the truth and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the faithful men who endured such hostility and trial and persecution to not only live out your word, but to write down your word and to preserve your word so that we might be able to sit together in this room today and to hear the heart of James, your servant, as he tries to explain to us the message that you wanted us to know. And Father, we ask that you will help us to receive with meekness this word that has been planted in our souls, that we would not just receive the word in our hearts, but that out of our hearts would spring forth the fruit of righteousness that you expect to see from those who love you. The fruit of someone who not only hears your word, but actually puts your word into practice. It's one thing for us to come together and to read the book of James and hear the book of James. But what you want us to do is to take these words and to put them into practice in our lives every single day. May we not be, Father, that man that looks in a mirror and then walks away and forgets who we're supposed to be. We've looked in the mirror today. We've looked into your word. We've listened to what your Spirit has to say to us. May we always remember the kind of person you want us to be. May we always be those doers of the word. May we always be those people who show our faith by our works. May we always be those people who allow you not to just be the Lord of our lives, but to be the Lord of our lips as well. May we realize that our lives are just for a moment. They're like a vapor. And that we will live and breathe and have our existence as it is your will for us to do so. Help us, Father, not to trust in wealth and riches, but help us to trust in you, the one who raises the dead. May we have the kind of relationship with each other, Father, that we can confess our sins to one another and pray for one another that we may be healed. We realize that there is a tremendous avenue of prayer that you have given to us. May we use it in the way that is most effective. May we use it on each other's behalf, as each week we have people written in our bulletin that need our prayers, people that are mentioned in the announcements who need our prayers. May we as a people take very seriously our responsibility to pray for those who need it. Father, if there are any in the audience today, we pray that you will prick their hearts and cause them to want to make the decision to become a follower of Jesus Christ, to become a child of yours, to lay down their lives, to come after you, to deny themselves, and to take up their cross daily, having counted the cost of discipleship, wanting to commit their lives to you forever. We pray, Father, that today would be the day that they finally step out in faith and in confidence in you to say they want to commit their lives to you. May today be the day of salvation for someone here, Father. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Are you one of those people that we just prayed about? Are you one who needs to step out in faith to accept the precious gift that God has given to the world of salvation in His Son Jesus? Have you been someone who's maybe known what you need to do for a long time, but for whatever reason you haven't had the boldness to step out, haven't had the confidence to step out and say, I today and forevermore want to be a follower of Jesus? May you be filled with encouragement and strength today to finally make that decision, to lay down your life, to commit your life to God through faith in Jesus Christ, to be buried with Christ in baptism, have your sins washed away, and let God raise you up something new, something that He has created special for you to go out and do the work that He has given you to do, to be His workmanship and to bear much fruit. Are you ready to make that commitment this morning? Please let it be known as we stand and sing this song to encourage you.